We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
With the second pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, Michigan.
Jared Goff winds up.
Touchdown, Detroit! Josh Rosen.
Here comes the blitz. Down the middle and on the fly. Jameson Williams, extra speed, on the gas and gone. Touchdown.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 292 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. No Peter with us, but Mr. Malcolm Hart, how are you doing, my man?
Woo! What is going on, man? Yo, we are back. I am excited. We just had the NFL draft. And the Lions came out on top. I think they had a phenomenal draft. But we're gonna talk about that more in depth. But yeah, man, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited, man. I was actually seeing if Pierre was here to kind of extend his intro again, but no Pierre today. I know he's on vacation right now, so salute to him.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it. But yeah, man, I'm excited, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. You know, obviously, we've been waiting for this day for months, obviously, to do this draft recap and to finally actually see the result and stop with the mock drafts and talk with all the Twitter talk, the quarterback talk, and like all that. Like, now that it's all kind of finally done and like you actually see the results, it's kind of like relieving, but like you kind of miss it at the same time, you know? Like, I kind of missed going on Twitter and seeing people doing all these mock drafts and all that talk.
I do not. I do not miss it one bit. That whole, you know, pre-draft saga, I would say, was very stressful. It was stressful for Twitter. It was stressful. I mean, I think it was just the whole quarterback thing that was just driving me crazy. The whole Anthony Richardson, then turned CJ Stroud, and it was just like, okay, like shit, you know. But I'm glad it's over. I'm glad that we're now talking about the guys they drafted. So let's go, man.
I think we said this for months. Like, usually we kind of have more of a pulse of what the Lions are going to do, like in the first round at least. Like, we kind of know, maybe not exact player you're going to go, but like we have a couple options that like the Lions could do here. I think this was the first year I could say confidently since we've done the podcast where like there was no idea what we had. We had no idea what to really expect, especially day one. And we definitely got the unexpected, and we're going to talk about all that, but I think we got to talk about something before we talk about the draft, and that is DeAndre Swift getting traded. And he got traded on day three. So I want to get your thoughts on this, Malcolm, because I know DeAndre is your guy. They ended up shipping him to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 2025 fourth round pick, and they ended up doing a seventh round pick swap for this year's draft. So what's your initial thoughts on trading DeAndre Swift?
Man, I'm still a big Swift fan. I can't even lie, man. I think when Swift is healthy, I think he's probably one of the most dynamic running backs in the NFL. probably, you know, I'll say top five as far as dynamic, as far as, you know, be able to catch up on the backfield. You know, once he's in space, he's able to make guys miss. I love his play style, man. And it's very unfortunate that it did not work out here. You know, he did have a long list of injuries in Detroit, which is very unfortunate, man. I think he's, like I said, I think he's very talented. And if Philadelphia is able to, you know, keep him healthy, you know, you're talking about the RPO between him and Hurts. That's going to be nasty. Do we play them next year? I don't want to play them.
No, not in the regular season. In the playoffs, we will probably.
Thank God. I'm telling you, that RPO between Hurts and Swift is going to be absolutely disgusting. It's going to be nasty, man. So, I mean, salute to him. I know he won the... He wanted to go to Philly. I think that's his team, or he's from
his hometown. Yeah,
his hometown's Philly. So I know he grew up a Philadelphia fan. So this is, when you salute to him, I know he's happy. So
what's your thoughts on it though? Like, are you? I know you said you're a fan of him, but like, you know, is it sad that like the era of him in Detroit is over? Or
to be honest with you, man. We even talk about who we drafted in the first pick, but once they made that selection, the writing was on the wall pretty much. Yeah. That he's either gonna be traded or traded. I think there was no in between. I think he's just gonna get traded. I mean, it's what it is, man. And my thoughts on it, like I said, man, it's unfortunate that it did not work out here, because I loved him as a player, but he just couldn't stay healthy to save his life.
It just shows the running back position of how like dreading it really is, because you could be a guy in college who, when we talked about when we drafted DeAndre Swift, like he didn't have the big workload like some of these other guys, like at Alabama, for example, who get like the crazy workload. And we thought that was an advantage of getting a guy like Swift, like, because, you know, he didn't have the crazy workload. So maybe the longevity will be there, but it didn't end up coming true. We had pretty much an injury every year in the DeAndre Swift era. And it felt like kind of last year when he got hurt, and then when he came back and they weren't using him the way that we thought they should, the writing was almost on the wall. So, and obviously that came true this offseason when they went out and signed David Montgomery. And then we're going to get into this draft right now and what they did with this first round selection. So again, it is unfortunate, but like you said, I think the writing was on the wall after what they did this offseason with getting David Montgomery, and then what they did in this first round by drafting Jahmyr Gibbs. So let's just get right into it. The Lions selected Jahmyr Gibbs at pick number 12, not pick six. They ended up trading back and selected Jahmyr Gibbs. So obviously the Lions were slated to pick number six, traded with the Arizona Cardinals, got a second round pick in return. So they got pick 12 and pick 34, and they selected running back Jahmyr Gibbs. Malcolm, what is your thoughts on selecting Jahmyr Gibbs?
Oh, man. Oh, I'll say this. Okay. So this is a pick that absolutely nobody, and I mean nobody, seen coming. No draft analysts, no mock guy, nobody seen this coming. Jahmyr Gibbs to Detroit, pick 12. I think it's kind of ironic because that's the same selection that we picked J-Mo. So it was like, that's like an Alabama selection pretty much. You know, once we, if we ever trade to pick 12, I mean, just, we could just say that they're going to select somebody from Alabama. But as far as
wearing number one.
Wearing number one. Shoot, man. To be honest with you, man, when they made the selection, was I shocked? Yes, I was shocked. Because, again, nobody's seen this coming. But the excitement, I just thought the excitement of what's going to happen is something that I was thinking about the entire time. When you look at the value, the positional value is definitely not there. All right. Now, people are going to say, you know, we shouldn't draft the running back that high, or he could have been there second round. He wasn't going to be there second round because, you know, right after the Falcons selected Bijan at, it's like number eight. Yeah, it's like the Bijan at eight. So once that happened, you know, Gibbs was gonna is the second best back. So Gibbs, he wasn't gonna last the second round. Probably wasn't gonna, may not even be there at 18. I mean, who knows? But I think what he's gonna be able to bring to the team, and the reason why I love the pick is because it shows that Detroit is looking to, you know, they're looking to get pretty much go for it next year. And what I mean by go for it is, they're trying to do everything they possibly can to get a guy that's going to come in immediately to make the team better. And that's what Gibbs is going to do. Gibbs is going to come in right away, and he's going to make the team better. And the thing, what I love about Gibbs is for the first 6 weeks that we're going to miss J-Mo, the first 6 weeks that he's going to be suspended, everything he could do with J-Mo, as far as those gadget plays, the swing plays, whatever plays you want to run with J-Mo, you could do that with Gibbs. You know, Gibbs is a guy who you could line him up out wide. He's a guy who's dynamic in the backfield. I just love the pick, man. I think he makes the team better offensively. So that's why I have no complaints. I have no complaints whatsoever about Gibbs. Now, I know you, Tyler, have a different opinion about it as far as your first reaction. I mean, I'm probably sure it probably changed once you sat down and thought about how amazing this offense is going to be with Gibbs and this offensive line and how dynamic it's going to be. But I just want to hear your first. How was your initial reaction?
Initial reaction was like, wow, what do we just do? We just took a running back at pick 12, and it wasn't even Bijan Robinson. It was Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, you know, we've had the talk and, like, the arguments of Bijan Robinson in the first round, and, like, we've had some good debates there. But to see a running back and it wasn't Bijan Robinson, it was Jahmyr Gibbs, it was definitely a complete shock. But to be honest with you, when we were sitting at pick 12 and, you know, we traded back, I actually had no idea what the Lions were going to really do because, you know, there was no more Jalen Carter, who obviously they passed up at pick six. Tyree Wilson was gone. Witherspoon was gone. I'm like, okay, maybe they go Christian Gonzalez. But to be totally honest with you, I wouldn't have loved that pick either way either. So I didn't know what the Lions would do. The only guy I really liked on that board, I know a lot of Lions fans didn't agree with me on this one, but I liked Lucas Van Ness. But I don't know how much the Lions loved him. So I didn't know what to expect at pick 12, honestly. So when I saw sitting there, saw the pick was in, I'm like, I don't know. And then it ended up being Jahmyr Gibbs. And initial reaction, it is, wow, we just took a running back in the first round. And I'm never going to be a big fan of taking a running back in the first round, let alone the top 12. Just it's never going to be something it's going to sit right with me. But I will say, did we get a good football player that's going to help contribute day one? Absolutely. I think we did get that. And you mentioned that we are going to be missing Jameson Williams for the first 6 weeks. And you can't necessarily get everything that you're going to get out of Jameson Williams from Jahmyr Gibbs, because obviously they're two different positions. But like you said, there's some certain plays that they probably had lined up for J-Mo that you could now do with Jahmyr Gibbs. I will say this, though. Jahmyr Gibbs has to be a big focal point into this offense. And I think he is going to be. You don't take a guy at pick 12 and he's not going to be a big focal point in your offense. Obviously, in New Orleans, where Dan Campbell comes from, what's the first thing you think of a dynamic receiving back? Alvin Kamara. And I could see that happening with Jahmyr Gibbs. And it kind of looks like Brad Holmes this offseason kind of built that backfield almost like that New Orleans when they got Kamara and they had Mark Ingram. I see a very similar right here now in Detroit with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery's like you're kind of your power back, go to the goal line situation. So if that's what we're going to get out of Jahmyr Gibbs, I think people are going to say, forget positional value, because if that's what you're going right now, you're trying to win right now. And you get a guy that's going to have a high impact on your offense right away, then it's not a bad pick. Now, is the longevity great for it? We don't know, because running backs in recent history haven't had the longevity of getting a good or when they get that second contract, not being able to live up to that second deal. But hey, do you think the Niners regret trading for Christian McCaffrey? I don't think they regret trading for Christian McCaffrey, because I think he gave him a legitimate shot of getting him to the NFC Championship game with all of those injuries. So your best friend as a quarterback is your running back. And we've seen that in this league before with Jared Goff in 2019 with Todd Gurley. So, you know, if that's the impact that he's going to have on your football team, I don't think we're going to be talking about positional value anymore if he has an impact right away.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we are. I honestly feel like, you know, as the season goes on, we're going to forget that he was drafted, you know, that the whole positional value thing. I think we're going to throw it out the window because of the impact he's going to bring to the team. And that's why, you know, even Brad Holmes, he even said, that's why, I mean, as far as positional value, it shocked me that we drafted Gibbs, because we didn't see Gibbs going that high. I don't think anybody did. But, you know, Brad Holmes had a different evaluation on him. But Brad Holmes even said, you know, he's not going to look at – he don't look at positional value when he's drafting. He's just going to get a guy who's going to – he feel like he's the best culture fit, and he's going to make the team better. And that's what they did. So, at the end of the day, I think it's a good pick. Now, is it an A+? Probably not. You know, it's not an A+. I wouldn't even go A. If you had to grade that pick, what would you grade it?
So a lot of things factors into it. Like I said, running back position is so weird because a guy like DeAndre Swift, we were probably saying the same exact things when we drafted him, right? Like that he could be your Alvin Kamara, your Christian McCaffrey in this offense. But like we've seen in this league, that position could get hurt so, so easily. These guys take a beating on a weekly basis. So it's really tough because we talk about all these guys being great and like when they're healthy, but are they going to be healthy just because the position is so beating and you took a guy like that at pick 12? It's risky. It's definitely risky. They're putting their balls on the table right now. Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, they're putting their balls on the table because if this doesn't work out and he's injured, just like we've seen with running backs in the NFL, this is going to look really bad for Brad Holmes. Even with the track record, yeah, that's going to look really bad on his record that you took a guy at pick 12 that wasn't able to stay healthy. So if he's healthy, obviously it's going to be a great addition to the squad, and no doubt about it. But if I had to grade it for positional value, you're looking at second contracts, that doesn't really line up in the NFL, right? So if I had to give it a grade, I would go like C+ probably on the Jahmyr Gibbs selection.
And that's being nice of you, man. I thought you didn't go like D or something.
Yeah.
Shoot. You know, I personally have a little bit higher. I have it as a straight B. And the reason why I'm going B is because even Brad Holmes, what he said in his presser kind of made a lot of sense. That he doesn't look at Jahmyr Gibbs as a just running back. He doesn't look at him as a running back. He looks at him as a football player. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to utilize all his strength as far as his, you know, line him up on the outside as a receiver sometimes, you know, get him some swing passes, then have him running in between. I mean, he's a really good back, man. He has really strong legs and he's super fast. He makes a lot of guys miss. So if you're going to do that, I give it a B. I think a B is fair for Jahmyr Gibbs. And that's why, I'm going.
Hey, Prime Podcast listeners, it's your boy Malcolm here, and if you're a sports bettor like me, let me tell you about OddsTraders. OddsTraders is a place to compare all odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotional codes from different sports books to get the best deal. This app also provides player stats, key game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather, so the bettors can make the most informed bets as possible. This app also has bet trackers so bettors can keep records of all their games and betting activity. Looking to maximize your bets? Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Again, that's oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Traders, the number one site for your game day bets.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, let me elaborate why I gave it a probably higher grade than you expected. Because if this was, let's say, the Lions last year, this would be a D. This would be a D. But this is a different situation than it was last year. Context matters. And you said it in the top of the show. The Lions are going for it right now. And they have the roster to go for it. They have, I think, the best team in the division to, you know, win that division. And I think they are a legitimate top three team in the NFC. I legitimately believe that right now that the Lions are a top three team in the NFC. So when you have your roster more built out and you were able to build out your roster from the last 2 years, you could go a little more luxury. You could fill in more positions. You could get guys that could help contribute day one, and you're not really thinking of a second contract right away. So that's why I gave it a little higher grade. Now, like, let's say, like I said, this was last year and we took Jahmyr Gibbs at pick 12. I probably wouldn't be as happy. I wouldn't be as excited. But with the team that we have right now, it makes me ease up to it a little bit more.
Shoot, I think everybody would probably be pissed. Because, I mean, you think about it this way. I mean, Swift wasn't on his last year of his deal. So we wouldn't have known what was going on with Swift. So if you did that move and, you know, coming off 3-13, not good.
Yeah.
That definitely wouldn't have been good. But, I mean, shoot. This year, like I said, man, they're going for it. They want to win this year, and the way you do that is you bring in guys that you're confident that it's not going to be a project right now. They're not going to be a project where you got to sit them for a little bit and see if they work out, or let's get a quarterback and sit them behind Goff and, you know, have him not do anything next year for us that, you know, we feel like we could win. They're getting a guy who day one is going to contribute. He's going to come in and he's going to make the offense better. And that's what they need. That's what teams who have the mindset of, hey, we could win next year. That's what they do. They bring in guys that, you know, look, they're going to contribute right away. And that's what Gibbs does. And I'm excited, man. I think he's going to be phenomenal, man.
You know, I think sometimes we get caught up too much of looking second contracts and long term, but like we have to realize building a dynasty like the New England Patriots is damn near impossible.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, building those, Brady, like, 10-year windows are so freaking hard. So when you have a window, even if it is, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years, you maximize it. Go maximize that potential that you have right now. Why look down 5 years down the line and say, oh, we could be dominant for this many years? It's too hard, man. It's freaking impossible. You have to get Patrick Mahomes. You have to get Patrick Mahomes, and you have to get Tom Brady, like you said. Not many teams have the opportunity of building 10-year windows. So when you have a window to win, I don't blame teams when they have an opportunity to go maximize it. And that's what Brad Holmes is doing right now. The window starts as soon as this season, and then I think you have 3, 4, 5 years after that to maximize that full window.
Yeah. And if that comes with one Super Bowl or a couple Super Bowls, trust me, nobody's complaining, man.
That's what I'm saying. No. Like, you think Lions fans are going to complain about a fucking Super Bowl? We've been waiting for a playoff win for years. We haven't won a playoff game since 1991. We have one playoff win in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
You think Lions fans are going to complain about a Super Bowl and then they have to rebuild for a couple more years after? No.
Especially if Brad Holmes, the guy that's doing rebuilding, who's going to care?
Yeah.
Who's going to care?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen teams like Philly. Obviously, like, they won their Super Bowl in 17, went through a little rebuild. And obviously last year, they're right back in the Super Bowl game itself. And they have a window right now to win, too.
Yeah, they do.
And they're maximizing it right now, too.
They are. Yeah, they are, man. That's what I say, man. When you have the opportunity, man, just go for it. Mm-hmm. There's no waiting. Look at what the Rams did. And I know the Rams are in a pretty bad spot right now. But they had that window to win. They went all in, and they won, and it got them a Super Bowl out of it. So, hey, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I think this really goes two directions for the Lions. It's like either Brad Holmes is going to be the guy to deliver a Super Bowl, or this is going to fail ultimately. But I feel confident that this is going to be able to deliver a Super Bowl.
And don't say that.
But, like, that's true, though. It's true. I mean, they're putting all their balls on the table right now, man, and they're really maximizing this window. So it really goes one or two ways.
Yeah, I mean, if this thing does not work, man, this is going to be one of the most all-time failures of all time. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm really confident. I'm really confident with this team, the staff, and what they're able to do, man. So I'm excited.
I want to get your question. I want to get this question to you before. So what was your thoughts when we were sitting at pick six and Jalen Carter and Tyree Wilson? I know those are two guys that you like, kind of like me. Yeah. They were still sitting there.
I said, oh, shoot, we're about to get Jalen Carter. That's mm-hmm. what I said. That's what I said to myself. I was like, oh, shoot, is it Jalen Carter time? Like, are we going to get Jalen Carter? We didn't do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that just shows that there's more to it than we thought, because Jalen Carter is definitely a guy who deserving. If you look at it, just talent, he's deserving to go in the top five, top six. You know, he's deserving because he's a top player, you know, talent-wise, second best defensive player in the draft. So there's more to it. I guess the character issues were just too much for them, and they didn't want to pull the trigger. Yeah. I have no idea where he was in the draft board, but I can tell you that Jahmyr Gibbs was much higher than him.
Yeah. I mean, I said this throughout the whole process since the Jalen Carter stuff has came out. I wouldn't be mad at Brad Holmes if he did end up passing on him, because if he's not a fit for your culture, then I completely understand it, because there's obviously some red flags, and we don't get the access of being able to know all that information, obviously. All we really know is the football player of Jalen Carter. Now, like you said, the talent is definitely deservedly so of being able to draft that guy at pick six, but with the character woes, and they had all the interviews with him and whatnot, you know, we don't have that information. So I said it all along. I wouldn't be mad if they ended up passing on him. It hurt a little bit. Tyree Wilson was sitting there. I know there was some medical concerns, but he was kind of sitting there right there. That would have been my pick if I was there at six. But we'll talk about what they got. I mean, they got an extra second round pick, and we'll talk about the pick that they end up using it on. So, you know, other than that, you know, it wasn't.
I'm not mad at that pick. As far as, you know, passing on Tyree Wilson, like, you got to think about this. He already has medical issues. Would you rather have a guy who contribute right away, like Jahmyr Gibbs, or a guy like, He's coming in hurt. You draft him hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, we already have bad luck with guys being hurt. You know, I still would have went the route the Lions did. Now, if Tyree Wilson was medicals was perfectly fine and he was good, and yeah, man, yeah, I would love to pick, man, but shoot, I just can't. I don't think you should risk that.
Again, we don't know that information. Like, we just know there are some medical concerns. I don't know how serious or how non-serious it is. Like, I don't know if he's going to be good for OTAs and training camp. I don't know that information. They know more than I do, right?
Exactly. So you don't want another Levi situation where a guy who just – he comes in hurt and he just banged up his whole career. Like you don't know. Like, I don't know.
I'm just basing off talent. That's who I would have went, just knowing from talent. Jalen Carter, Tyree Wilson. But like I said, I don't know the information of those guys. So we ended up training back. They looked like they weren't comfortable taking either of those guys. Took Jahmyr Gibbs at pick 12. So,
woo.
All right, let's get into our second first round pick order. There was some chatter pre-draft that this pick could potentially be traded to another team that they were looking to trade back, but they ended up sticking it out and keeping pick 18, and they selected linebacker Jack Campbell from the University of Iowa. What's your thoughts on that?
I absolutely love this pick. You're talking about a guy who's, I mean, he's built like a Patricia-type linebacker. When you think about Patricia-type linebacker, you're thinking about slow, bulky, and can't move. But he is 6'4", like what, 250? Is 6'4", 250? Is that his size? But he's a sideline linebacker, man. This guy is, he ran a 4.6. He is very, very, very instinctive, man. Like, he has great ball skills, and that's something that, like I said, we were missing a lot of that last year. But he's great at coverage, great instincts, and, you know, reading the quarterback, making plays on the ball. And like I said, he's a sideline linebacker. I absolutely love this pick. This guy was a captain on his team for Iowa. I love this pick. I think he's going to come in right away and be our starter. Now I'm actually confused. Are they going to use? Because he's not being benched. And I really love Malcolm. So, are those two, you're looking at those two guys being your starters, and having Alex as like that Brockers role where he's just like your leader, or what is going to happen? Because they can't use three linebackers, are they? Are they going to go to 4-3, or what is going on?
Yeah, so very quickly on Jack Campbell's size, he's 6'4", 249, so yeah.
249, pretty much 250, but shit. Yeah. We ran a 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not 250 running a 4.9. Like,
no,
the guy, we dropped it from Hawaii, but
yeah. but going back to your question is like, I had the same question too. It's like, what are we going to do? I don't think Malcolm Rodriguez's job's in jeopardy because I think he is your outside weak side linebacker. I think that stays. But you're talking about like the guy that's on our team right now is Alex Anzalone. He's played that mic role since he's been here, right? And they gave him the 3-year extension, and then they go out and draft Jack Campbell at 18. The way I look at it, yeah, I agree with you. Jack Campbell, I think, has to be a day one starter. I don't think you take this guy at pick 18 and don't have aspirations of starting him day one, especially – you know, just with this linebacker room. But it's interesting. Then why give Alex Anzalone a 3-year extension?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it for a mentor role? Like, is he going to come in and be like the Michael Brockers and just mentor those guys, help them out? Maybe that, like, that player coach type thing? Because they played two linebackers. That's like the way they played last year.
They played
with two linebackers. Now, are they going to switch role complete, like, as far as, like, switch schemes and maybe go 4-3 and then play all three of those guys?
I don't know. I really don't know what they do because I kind of like the defensive scheme they had last year. I thought it was working, and I don't really want too many changes this offseason because we saw what happened last year.
We've seen what happened last year when we started to change things.
So I would say that would make sense, but you don't give a guy 3 years, $6 million per year to be a mentor role, in my opinion. Like, that's a guy I feel like you have aspirations of starting as well. So I'm really confused, honestly. I don't know what they do with Alex Anzalone. I don't know what they do with Jack Campbell. I know one of them is going to be starting. I don't think this affects Malcolm Rodriguez. I don't. I think Malcolm is still a starter. I don't think we'll see Campbell and Alex Anzalone.
Jack Campbell's going to come. He's the best linebacker in that room right now.
So Alex Anzalone is just depth at this point? I mean, it has to be, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean, at this point, man.
They love Alex, too.
They do. But like I said, they love Brockers. And that's type of – I mean, that's what Brockers was able to bring, that mentorship, leadership role. But I don't know, man. I really don't know how they're going to handle it. But I could tell you that Campbell is the best linebacker. He's going to be the best linebacker in that room. And that says a lot because Malcolm was phenomenal last year. Now, how much is Malcolm going to increase his game? Who knows? But Jack Campbell, man, he, like I said, great in coverage, great instincts. He moves sideline to sideline. He's great, man. I really love his game. We don't have that. What he's able to bring is we don't have that type of linebacker. We don't have a linebacker that's instinctive like that. Like, he can read the quarterback and make plays on the ball. We don't have that linebacker in that room that was able to do that. And yeah, I can tell you, right, he's 100% starting. Now, what they're going to do between Malcolm and Alex, I don't know. Are they going to sub those guys in back and forth?
They don't really do that either, though. You know, they really like to play their linebackers just the whole game if they're healthy, right?
Sometimes. I mean, I know on some third downs they'll put some guys in.
Yeah, you'll see like a Derek Barnes out there, maybe instead of Malcolm because he's more physical.
And goal line, you'll probably see Derek Barnes out there because he's bigger.
That's different. I'm saying just like a fresh set of downs. Like, you know, the team just starts from the 25. Like, who's going to be your two linebackers out there?
I would say Jack Campbell and Malcolm.
That's my prediction too, but I don't know.
It's 100%. Jack Campbell's going to be out there.
Jack Campbell's going to be out there. Yes.
Between Malcolm and Alex,
it makes more sense for it to be Malcolm Rodriguez, though, in that role.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's a little confusing to me right now. But, I mean, we'll see, man. Maybe they'll just shock everybody and go 4-3 and just play all three of those guys.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. It's just a little shocking to me. You give Alex Anzalone 3 years, then you take a linebacker, pick 18.
Wait, hey, but again, this is another thing Brad Holmes said. He does not care. He does not care if we have that position. If you're a starter and the best player is there, they're going to draft a guy. They don't care. They're going to draft the best football players. And it just falls right into that.
What would you give this grade?
Oh, I'm giving this an A. I love Jack Campbell. And a lot of people are a little confused about it. Oh, you don't draft the stand-up linebackers. All right. I guarantee you're going to love this pick. This guy is who I think he's going to be, and he becomes a star. You're talking about like a Luke Kuechly, Brian Urlacher, those type of linebackers, you know, those really great linebackers. Nobody's going to complain about this pick at all.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't know. I'm probably lean more towards a B. I don't hate the pick. Don't love the pick. It's just interesting with the linebacker room they have right now. But like you said, Brad Holmes is obviously showing that he doesn't care about who's on the roster right now. He's going to take the guy who's best on his board. Yeah. And obviously that ended up being Jack Campbell in this situation.
And like I said, he is by far the best linebacker in our room. I can tell you that right now.
Well, for the people bitching about Alex Anzalone and why they gave him an extension, I think this helps your case. I mean, you guys wanted a linebacker, right?
You wanted a linebacker. You wanted an upgrade. You got – here you go. Trust me. Trust me on this. It's an upgrade. It's a huge upgrade. He's going to make plays, man. I mean, you're talking about a linebacker. I mean, the last time you had a linebacker that could make plays, you're talking about DeAndre Levy. And DeAndre Levy was, you know – we called him a ball hawk because he was just getting in. I think he had like 5 interceptions in a season. Like, he was always around the ball, always a great instinct players. And that's what Jack Campbell brings. He's very instinct. He had really great instincts. And I think that's what they decided. They looked back at this defense and said, you know, what is missing from this defense and his instincts. That's what was missing. Like, they saw it from Aiden Hutchinson. They saw it from Kirby Joseph. Those are very instant players. They have really great instincts, and that's why they're always around the ball. Aiden Hutchinson, what, he had two, three interceptions last year?
Three, yeah.
Three interceptions. Great instincts. You know, if they had other players, different positions, that had great instincts, just imagine how many turnovers you could get. And they fixed that this year. You know, talking about the guys in the cornerback room they got in the free agency. Now they have a linebacker with really, really good instincts. You already have your safeties that have really great instincts. I mean, shit. I mean, talk about turning a defense around in 1 year. They did that. They did a phenomenal job. Jack Campbell is going to be great. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the second round. So the Lions had 3 second round picks coming into the day, right?
Oh, my God.
And this was the pick they got from the Arizona Cardinals from trading back from pick 6 to pick 12. They got pick 34. They took tight end Sam Laporta, sticking with the Iowa Hawkeyes trend. I know when we've done our 3-round mocks, we did 2 of them. You had Sam Laporta on both of them. Now, to be fair, you had him a little later in the draft. You didn't have him early second round pick. So what's your thoughts on getting Sam Laporta?
I mean, we didn't really have an early second. I think I had one mock that I had him at, 48? And I had another mock where I had him right at, 55? Or some. I think I flip-flopped it both times. But Sam Laporta, I mean, this is a guy who talk about – when we talk about our offense, and you're looking at, you know, what is the weakest link in the offense, you're looking at – you're looking around the room, and you're saying, you know, it's either – the guard position or the tight end. You know, the tight end position, we're really missing that guy. I mean, we have a lot of guys who are capable of being solid tight ends. They're solid. But we don't have a really good tight end. And I think Sam Laporta is going to come in right away. He's now your starter. And what he's able to bring offensively, I think he had really great hands, great speed. Is it unfair to say that he may be an upgrade over Hawkinson? I mean, would you go that far?
I
wouldn't go that far.
No.
I think because when Hawkinson was here, he had a lot of drop issues. I mean, we'll see how Laporta does here, but I think Laporta is going to be a really big focal point in the offense. I think Sam Laporta is going to be really good for us, and he makes that room better. And this is another, they got another starter, guys. This is a guy to come in. He's your starter. He's a starting tight end. So you're looking at these first 3 picks, and they got 3 starters. I mean, you're looking at Gibbs. He's going to be running back 1A or 1B, so he's still one something. Jack Campbell, he's going to be your starting middle linebacker. And now you have your starting tight end. So they fixed and got better at 3 positions, which is great. So, yes, Sam Laporta, I think, he's better than the guys we currently have there, and he's our starter. So I love the pick.
Yeah. With Laporta, yeah, I agree. They definitely needed a tight end. And you know, they needed a more receiving type tight end. You know, Laporta could definitely improve on his blocking. That's one aspect I think that's missing right now from him. And kind of like Hawkinson, like we were expecting more of him to be that all-around tight end and be a great receiving threat, be a great blocker. And I think for the most part, Hawkinson was a really good receiving guy for us. Obviously, with some games where he was invisible, but he had those really good breakout games. And I think we're going to have that similar type player here with Laporta. I don't think he's as dominant as a player as Hawkinson. I think Hawkinson's a little more polished, at least coming out and what he was. But as far as getting another receiving threat, kind of like how they used Hockenson. I could see that being the case with Laporta, Brock Wright kind of be more of your blocking tight end, and obviously trying to improve on Laporta's blocking as you do that. But Brock Wright's a good blocker right now. Laporta's more of your receiving guy. And, you know, they misused Hockenson, I would say, but they still had a role for him most games. And I think now getting their guy in and not having that pressure of Hockenson being a top 10 pick and making all that money and having to get him involved, it's a little more easier now with Laporta. You don't have to do all that same thing with Laporta just because he isn't a top 10 pick, and you don't have to like get him right into the offense kind of like Hockenson. Because when you see TJ Hockenson, like that's one name you're just like, you have to get him involved. Like that's TJ Hockenson, you have to get him involved. With Laporta, you don't have that same pressure to get him involved, but they're going to get him involved. He's going to be your tight end one in a very, you know, lackluster room. And, you know, like I said, he's a good receiving type tight end. And I think he's a Dan Campbell guy. He's a very gritty, good yak guy. We've seen that at Iowa. And the track record for Iowa tight ends, they're tight end you for a reason. They have a great track record. Hockenson, good player. George Kittle, great player. Dallas Clark, Hall of Famer. Noah Pham, solid NFL player, right? Like they develop good tight ends there. Linebackers and tight ends. That's where the Lions just selected from Iowa. Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta. That's what Iowa's known for.
Let's go, man. They went back to back with that one too, man.
Yeah, they did. What would you give the greatest Sam Laporta?
Sam Laporta, man, as far as positional need and what he's able to bring to the team, having him as a starter, going B+ here.
I agree. I'm going B+ as well. Like I said, he's an instant impact player, day one, tight end one, in my opinion, and just gives you something that your room didn't really have. You know, Zylstra, that was kind of your receiving type tight end before, right? And now you're definitely getting a big upgrade, I think, here with Laporta over Zylstra.
100%.
And that's not a shot to Zylstra. It's just, you know, I think Laporta's a better receiving tight end than him.
Shoot, does Zylstra still make the team next year?
That's going to be something he has to compete for in camp, I think, right now. I mean, obviously, it's a more cluttered room. You got Laporta, obviously, here. He's going to be here. I think Brock Wright has a staple on this team right now just because of his blocking aspect. We'll see. And it's going to really come down to, I think, James Mitchell and Zylstra.
We'll see.
Is Mitchell's development going to be there? We'll see. That's a topic that we could have in August when we start watching training camp and preseason games.
Oh, man. I know you're about to go to the next pick, and this next pick gets me excited.
It does. Pick 48. Or they actually traded up with the Packers. Well, they traded up with the Packers.
Go, Pack, go. Thank you.
We were originally pick 48, traded up three spots to pick 45, and the Lions only traded a fifth-round pick to move up three spots. Hold up. Before we talk about the pick, did you see our man Tom Grossi, you know, big Packers? Did you see his reaction when they made the trade?
I did not. He was pissed.
Oh, my. Okay, when we're done with the pod, that is something you have to go do because he was live streaming. We've had Tom Grossi in the pod. He's a great guy. Yeah, no, he's a Packers fan. We'll let that slide. He's a funny guy. That is something you need to go watch. Pause the pod and go watch that clip right now of when we traded up from 48 to pick 45. So the Lions selected Brian Branch here from Alabama. And something about this video was like, these motherfuckers better not select Brian Branch, because that was like who he wanted for the Packers at pick 45. He goes, if they select Brian Branch, I'm going to be livid right now. And then
that's hilarious, because last year he did the same shit where he was like, oh, they better not draft J-Mo because I want J-Mo, and we drafted J-Mo.
Yeah, no, it was great. But this is crazy. Brian Branch at pick 45? What's your thoughts on this, Malcolm?
They got a hell of a football player, I can tell you that. They got a hell of a football player. And I'm just a little, how are they going to use him? Are they going to use him as a safety / nickel? But then you have CJ there. So are they just pretty much having him as like an insurance if they're unable to sign CJ long term?
You can never have a good enough football players, man. You can never have enough. Like when you get this type of talent at 45, you just make it work. I know right now it's a cluttered room and he probably doesn't have a day one role, but that's fine. But yeah, I think this is insurance for CJ Gardner-Johnson only being a 1-year deal. You don't know if that's a long-term option right now. Could it be? We'll see. You know, we'll see as the season goes on. Obviously, injuries happen in this league a lot. So to have just Brian Branch be your insurance option for the safety and nickel cornerback spot, That's unbelievable. And you, to use him with your fourth pick in the draft, that is unbelievable, in my opinion, to get him at that spot. Obviously, safety position, I still think, has some questions too. I mean, Kirby, we know he's a staple. But Tracy Walker, coming off a ruptured Achilles, how is he going to look? Now, do I still think Tracy Walker's a starter? Absolutely, I think Tracy Walker's a starter going into the year. But now you have insurance at that safety spot and in that defensive back – and in that cornerback room. He could play outside corner too. Now, that's probably not ideal. I probably don't want to see that. But no, he has the option of being able to play nickel and safety. He is a C.J. Gardner clone, in my opinion. That's what I comp him to. He is C.J. Gardner-Johnson's clone. And even if he doesn't have a day one impact, just the ability to learn from C.J. Gardner-Johnson for the year is going to help his development so, so much, because that's a perfect mentor for him. That's the perfect player for him, because he is him. He could be him in the future. So I'm unbelievably stoked to get Brian Branch on this football team.
Yeah, like I said, they got a hell of a football player, and that's like a Dan Campbell guy, man. So, I mean, he fits the team. Now, like you said, he may not have an immediate role week one, because, I mean, you're looking at around the room, man, like, where can you put him? Now, could he possibly beat some guys out of a starting job? One of our safeties, or I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Like you said, you know, Tracy Walker's coming back off an injury. We don't know what's going to happen. So to have that depth there, I think is really, really, really good. Especially got him in the fourth round. Jesus.
Second round, before fourth pick.
Second round, fourth pick. yeah, man, that's still phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal value, because we thought he was going to go in the first round.
You know, I think when you do this, and I want to talk about this, like, if you reshape this draft order, I think a lot of people's opinions would change before, right? Like, I think if we said we selected Brian Branch at 12, we got Jahmyr Gibbs at pick 18, took Jack Campbell at pick 34, and took Sam Laporta here at pick 45, let's say hypothetically, I think the thoughts of Lions fans would completely change.
It would.
Of how the draft would go. And this is crazy, just how you, if you shuffled around a little bit. Same players, just shuffle where you got them picked.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, as long as you get your guys, man, that's all that matters. Where they're drafted at, really, I mean, yeah, contract and money is a factor. But besides that, man, I think it's whatever, man. I think, you know, as long as you get your guys, then you get your guys, man.
And that's why I ultimately feel better, because coming out day one and just coming out with Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell, I was skeptical. I'm like, I don't know about this. But then I think when you really sit down and you get to see day two and you get to see the whole thing, right? You just get to see the whole draft, how it all plays out. I think you feel a lot more confident. And that's just how I was. Like, I was watching day two and I'm like, let's go, man. We just get Sam Laporta. We get a tight end one. And then we get Brian Branch at pick 45. Like, you freaking kidding me? That was my favorite pick of the whole draft, honestly. Just where you got him, the type of player that I think he is. Like, this is a guy I remember sitting at Ford Field. Like I said, I didn't really have a clue what the Lions were going to do, but I would have not been mad if they took Brian Branch at 12. I really would have not been mad if they took Brian Branch at 12. I like him that much. I think he's that good of a football player.
Yeah, he is. He's a really good football player. Really great football player. And he matches what they do, man. He's a Dan Campbell guy. So
I'll take it even an extra step. I think he's more of an Aaron Glenn guy. That's a guy that Aaron Glenn's going to have so much fun with.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron Glenn, yeah. I think they're all going to have fun with him, man. I love the pick.
I'm going A.
You're going A? Mm-hmm. I'm going A. I'll go A here as well.
Yeah, I don't think it could get any better. You know, like, there was no one on the board. Like, I'm like, okay, this has to be Brian Branch. Like, you look at just how the board was falling out. Even in a clutter room, there's zero complaints here. So, yes, I love this pick by Brian Branch. My favorite pick of the whole draft. All right. So, the Lions were scheduled to have a third second-round pick. They ended up trading back two times, getting some future draft capital. So, they ended up making the pick at pick 68. This was originally the Denver Broncos pick. This interesting one, quarterback Hendon Hooker from Tennessee. What's your reaction, Malcolm?
Hendon Hooker. Now, a lot of people are probably going to be a little bit confused about my reaction with this pick, because, you know, I've been a really big golf guy, you know, but I think where they drafted Hooker is not to take golf's job. Now, is there a possibility? Does Hendon Hooker have a chance to develop into a star and then eventually take, you know, golf's job, which pretty much, I would say 70% of Lions fans is hoping for? He has a shot. But that's not what they drafted Hooker for. They drafted him to be a backup. He's going to be pushing Nate Sudfeld for a job, pretty much. So with his role here as a backup, I love the pick. I mean, yeah, I think what you're getting from Hooker is that, you know, his ceiling is that he, you know, develops into a really great quarterback, and then they could, you know, move off of Goff, and then you have a guy who could come right in immediately and be our future quarterback. That's the ceiling. Now, the floor is you have a really good backup. You know, you have a really good backup to be a backup for Goff. And, you know, those odds, I mean, I'll take that any day. And the Hooker is a guy who, you know, he showed a production in college, really great, you know, really great numbers in college, and he has a really great deep ball, man. So I love the pick, man. I just want to see how he is here and as a pro, and how he's able to handle everything as a pro, and especially his injury. I know he's coming off injury. I want to see how he recovers and how he handles things as a pro, man. But I'm excited. I mean, I had him mocked in one of my mock drafts as well, coming to Detroit. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I think, like you said, at the very least, I think you're getting a good backup option, which was a big concern for a lot of Lions fans, is the insurance if Goff were to ever go down, right? God forbid he has to ever go down. But, like, he wanted an insurance option and potentially a future quarterback. And I think this was good risk here. Now, if they took Hendon Hooker with that pick 34, maybe you're not as stoked. Or if they got him at 18, you're probably not happy at all, right? I think where they took him and what they did this offseason, you had the ability to make a move like this. Your first three selections are all day one impact players. Brian Branch is going to be an impact some way to your football team. Maybe not day one, but he's going to be an impact to your football team some way. So your first four picks are going to have some type of impact pretty early on in the process. Now, Hooker is going to be your developmental guy, and they could do that at this spot, getting four talented players and the free agency that they had. They had the opportunity to go a little more project right here. And the value that they got him here is unbelievable. Pick 68 in the third round for Hendon Hooker. This is a guy, if he doesn't get hurt, probably a first round pick, maybe an early second round pick. But, like, at the very least, like, I think he's a first round pick. He's a talented player, man. He's a very talented player. This guy was in the Heisman race. Now, his age, yeah, he's older. He's 25 years old already, which is kind of crazy. He's only 2 years younger than Jared Goff, who's been the least since 2016, which is kind of nuts. But take that out. He's a good player, man. You mentioned the college productions there. It's going to be interesting to see how he translates the league, because, yes, he was in the SEC and had those phenomenal numbers. People have some questions of how his style could translate the league, because their offense was very college-style offense, and it's not your traditional pro-style offense. So we'll see how he translates. But, you know, I think NFL Network made this comparison. It was Mark Brunell, you know, a guy that was in a college-style offense, I think coming off an injury as well, and he kind of fell in the draft. That's kind of what Hendon Hooker is right now, story-wise. Like, they have very similar stories. I know Brunell was a lefty, obviously, but he gets to be coached up by Mark Brunell, because that is our quarterback coach.
I was going to say that. Mark Brunell's our quarterback coach.
Yeah, so he's going to have the opportunity to coach him up, and they have very similar stories coming to the league. I believe they're both older as well coming into the league. But, you know, guys that fell in the draft, and Brunell had a really good career, a very efficient career, and this is going to be really interesting. I like Hendon Hooker a lot. He was probably my fourth quarterback overall in this draft. Like, if I had to rank them, I think after Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, I mean, you could maybe even argue my quarterback three. I wasn't a big Richardson guy, and I wasn't really a big Levis guy, and Hooker was right in that conversation as well. So you could kind of flip-flop them, but I like it. Yeah, I like Hooker a lot.
So let me ask you a question. Are you looking at Hendon Hooker more like a project type quarterback, or?
Yes.
You are? Okay. I don't know. Like, I know that he didn't really play in a pro style offense, but I think he has all the tools to, if needed. I mean, like I said, if he wasn't injured, you're talking about take away the injury, and he was just drafted, you think he'll need time to sit and learn the game? Well, do you think that if he wasn't injured, he could come in day one and potentially be a starter?
I don't know if he's a day one starter, like, as a quarterback. I don't know if he's that type of player, especially with the injury, and if he's going to miss some time and, like, OTAs, let's say hypothetically.
No. That's a take away injury.
Take out the injuries.
Take away injuries. So say if he was never hurt, he was drafted in the first round, because I think that's where he would have went if he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's smart enough to catch up to an NFL offense and be a starter day one if he wasn't hurt.
I got you.
But now with him being hurt, I think that could obviously put some stopgap and cause some delay.
Yeah, because now he's rehabbing and he's focusing more on rehab. And, yep. You know, is he going to be able to be there for OTAs and all the, you know, training camp, mini camp, all that stuff? Is he going to be there? I don't know.
I think at the very least, though, like you said, I think we got a high-end backup. And God forbid Goff ever goes down. I think you feel a lot more comfortable now after getting Hendon Hooker than you would before.
Yeah, definitely, because he's a better quarterback than Nate Sudfeld. At least I would hope he is.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not better than Nate Sudfeld, that's a question. Yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah, that's a big concern. But no, great pick. I love it.
What's a grade?
I'm giving this one a B.
B. I agree. I think the positional value was good. They got him in the third round. I think, at the, like you said, the very least, he got a good backup quarterback. And we'll see what happens. This is going to be a fun project to keep up with, definitely. And I hope he's ready for the preseason, because I want to see him in the preseason with the Lions.
Oh, me too.
I want to watch him, dude. I think that'd be so fun.
Yeah, me too. 100%.
Him and J-Mo, because J-Mo could play in the preseason. J-Mo could play in the preseason. That could be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait, man.
We'll see. All right. Lions traded up a fourth and 2/5 to make this selection in the third round. They traded back up, I believe. I should have known this. I believe it was with the Cardinals. So they traded up and grabbed defensive tackle Broderick Martin at pick 96. Defensive tackle, what's your thoughts?
Broderick Martin. Now, I know from what I know of him is that he's ginormous.
Big fucker.
Big fucker. Big. Poof. Ooh, huge. What is he? Like 330, 340?
Yeah, about.
Do you have his
I'll pull it up. Keep talking. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, I know he's huge. And I really think that, you know, coming into this draft, defensive tackle is a really big hole that we had. And we needed a guy who could come in, help stop the run. And I think that that's what they got here with Martin. Now, I think he'll come in. Don't really know if he's going to be instant starter. I think he'll be battling with a lot of guys for that role. You know, Isaiah Bugs is there. You know, we still have Ali McNeil. So there's a lot of bodies there. So I don't know if he's going to be an instant starter. Go ahead, Tyler.
320, 6'5", 320 was the official Western Kentucky stat. That's where they list him on their website.
Yeah, I think he's bigger. I think he's bigger than that now. And that was Western Kentucky. I think that's coming in college. That's probably his weight. But I think he's bigger than that.
Okay. On NFL.com, 337.
I'm telling you, he's a big guy. Big guy. 337. Yeah, so we'll see. Now he's coming in. He's definitely going to play nose tackle, being 337.
Yes.
100%. Yes. So we'll see, man. Is he going to be the starting nose tackle, or are they going to put McNeil more as three tech? Is that the role? Because McNeil is another big guy. He's like 320 as well.
I think they want to make McNeil more of a three tech.
Yeah, because he's quick. So he has a really quick, he's really quick, twitchy. So we'll see how they handle that. But, you know, worst case scenario, Martin's going to bring you death for that position. So I like the pick, man. We needed a different tackle. We got one.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you and act like I knew who Broderick Martin was before the draft, because I didn't. And I had to do some research after they made the selection and just reading around. But
a lot of people did.
Yeah. You know, obviously, I think you got a guy that is going to be a rotational guy, and we needed some depth there for sure. Like, that's one position they didn't really address too much in the offseason, that defensive tackle spot. And I think we looked at that spot of maybe being able to address in this draft or potentially in free agency, and they didn't really do it in free agency. So they go out and get Broderick Martin here at 96. And you know what I mean? You know my thoughts. I love these big fuckers. I love guys who could stuff the run. And I think that's something that we got here with Broderick Martin. Now we'll see how the game translates, because translating from Western Kentucky to the NFL is obviously a big jump. So we'll see how it translates. They got to work with him at the East Shrine Bowl game. I'm interested to see this. It brings depth. We needed depth at the spot. And I trust Brad Holmes, trust me, because he has given me no reason not to trust his judgment. So if this is a guy that he thought was worth trading up for a position that we needed really badly, let's see what happens. Let's see how it works.
100%.
Now, if this was Bob Quinn last year in his draft and I had no idea who this guy was, maybe I question a little bit more. Oh, but I'm giving Brad Holmes the benefit of the doubt because there's no reason for me to – I didn't know who James Houston was. I didn't know who Malcolm Rodriguez was before the draft last year either, and those guys ended up being really good for us.
Yeah.
So if I had to give this a grade, you got a position of need. I think he's going to have an impact if he could translate. Let's go B minus.
You know, B minus, and I'm actually a little bit harder on this one than you are. I mean, and it's a little bit unfortunate. Not, it had nothing to do with the player, because again, I didn't know much about him before the selection. I look him up. I'm giving this one a C plus. I'm just giving this one a C plus. I think, you know, we did need a tight end, not tight end, a defensive tackle. We did need a defensive tackle. They did draft one. I just want to see how much he's able to bring. Is he even going to be a starter for the team, or is he going to be a rotational guy? There's a lot of questions I have, so I'm going to C plus.
The reason why is just there wasn't many guys at the board at that point where I'm like, whoa, we have to get this guy. Like, oh, how is he still there? Like, you know, there was anyone like that, and I think we got a very big position in need here, so. Like I said, I'm just going by Brad Holmes' judgment. The only other defensive tackle I would have liked up maybe for them to select was the tight end, or not tight end. You maybe got to say tight ends. The defensive tackle from Baylor, Ika, Siake Ika.
Yeah.
But I believe he had some medical problems. So he only fell two picks farther than Broderick Martin. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm interested to see how this pick works out. So, all right. That was day two. Let's go into day three. The Lions had two selections, had a fifth round pick and a seventh round pick. So no fourth round and no sixth round pick. So in the fifth round at pick 152, the Lions take offensive lineman Colby Sorsdale. I hope I'm saying that right. How do you like that pick, Malcolm?
Just like Martin. I'm gonna lie to you. Before this selection, I did not know much of this guy. But as I looked him up and looked into him, he looks like a really great football player. Really, we needed some online depth, and I think we got it here. I think he can be one of those guys who, when we look back at this draft, we're gonna be like, man, how did he fall so far? I think he's gonna have a big role in the team. I think he's gonna could be your swing tackle, you know. So we'll see. We'll see how they handle this, and let's see his role for his team, man.
See that?
I see that.
He's wearing a cowboy hat.
That's your boy.
You know, I love these type of players. Like in these small FCS schools, and you give me an offensive lineman from the East Shrine Bowl game in the fifth round, you know I'm going to be geeked about that. Even if I had no idea who the player was beforehand, just seeing the picture of that, I'm like, I love this guy. This pick's already an immediate A. Even if I have no idea who the player is, this is the perfect player I look for. This is the perfect grit I look for in players. And I could just see Dan Campbell falling in love with this guy. I wish we had Hard Knocks just to watch Colby Sorsdale. That's how much I love this guy already.
Just to see him?
Just to watch him. That's how much I love this guy already. Oh, man. I love this guy just from that cowboy picture. Him wearing a cowboy hat. That got me hooked.
Let me ask you a question. Did you know much of him prior
to no idea who he was.
And then looked up, you saw him with the cowboy hat.
I like this guy. I like this guy. Now, that's probably the worst draft analysis you'll ever get, right? But yeah. I don't care. I just like him. This is the type of player I look for. FCS school, offensive lineman. This is grit. Now let's get into what Brad Holmes said about this guy, because he obviously is a guy who played tackle at, I don't even remember the school, William St. Mary's, I believe it was.
Yeah,
one of those something schools. Like that, right? It was some random school you never heard of until you got Colby Sorsdale. Now, something I thought Brad said that was interesting in his conference when they interviewed and they asked him about him was, what do you think his role on this team? And they said, we want to try him out at different spots. And they got to see him play guard at the East Shrine Bowl game. So they saw some versatility, obviously, enough to draft him. So I think this is a guy, obviously, who played offensive tackle in college. And I think he's going to compete for that swing tackle spot with Matt Nelson. But I also think he gives you some guard depth, too, as well. And that's obviously a position the Lions needed very badly. It's something we talked about a lot in this pre-draft process of getting some guard depth. And they did that this free agency and getting back Graham Glasgow. So I think this is a guy that is going to have some depth to your offensive line. Again, don't really know much about the football player, but I'm really intrigued. I'm really interested to see what he can bring to the table in training camp. I think this could be some depth that they needed very much. And like I said, if they were comfortable enough to take him and they believe that he could be versatile, it's a solid pick.
Yeah. I agree, man. I think he's a really good football player, man. So you already kind of gave a hint on what you're grading
him.
You give him an A.
Hey. I'm biased.
Hey, you're biased. Okay, I'm going to be minus here. Just because I mean, no. I change it to a B. Solid B. I think it's a solid B. I think it's a solid pick. I think he's going to contribute to the team in a very positive way, whether it's going to be swing tackle or a backup guard. We needed O-line death, and we got it. So I'm giving this a B.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a shot this guy doesn't even make the football team. I mean, it's the fifth round. It's pick 152. There's a legitimate shot he doesn't even make the football team.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if this was any other GM, you would say that. But, I mean, this is Brad Holmes. Now, is it unfair to say that for Brad Holmes? Because, like, say if we get some guys now that don't make the team, fifth, sixth round, you know, later in the draft, would that be like a hit on Brad Holmes?
No, because we got spoiled the last 2 years, honestly. I think that's really what it is. We got spoiled. Like, let's be honest, we don't really get many drafts like what Brad Holmes does last year. You just don't get that often. You know, mm-hmm. I think
teams don't do that in general.
In reality, you really ask to get 3-4 starters out of every draft. Like 3-4 guys that are going to contribute for your football team and going to be here for a while. That's what you usually ask for out of a draft. Last year, the whole entire draft class was helped contribute in a positive way outside of one player, and that was the 7th-round pick, Chase Lucas.
Yeah, and that's because he was was he hurt or was he on just the practice squad?
He was hurt, and, you know, just there wasn't really much of a role for him. But, yeah, he was hurt.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, we got spoiled the last 2 years. So, there is a shot that Colby doesn't even make the team, right? He's going to have to compete for that spot with Matt Nelson, I believe. And that's going to be a competition to watch, I think, in August.
Yeah.
So, all right, last pick of the draft. This was a 7th-round pick. This is actually a pick, like I said, it was the pick swap with the Eagles in the DeAndre Swift trade. So originally we were slotted to pick, I believe, it was 249, ended up being 219. We took wide receiver Antonio Green. What's your thoughts on that?
Just like the last two players, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I did not look too much into him prior to us selecting him. Now, after we selected him, I did see that he does have really great hands. I did see some one hand catches in there that he was making. So he looked like a receiver that could make, those spectacular catches. You might see some one handers here and there. But I think for that value, I think he's a really good pick. Now, in the 7th round, he may be a guy that, you know, makes a team. And could make an impact, offensively to the team. You know, who knows? But I think for that value and what he's able to bring, I think it's a really good pick.
Yeah. Again, I didn't really know much about him either as well. But we're coming into the draft, and they made the selection in the 7th round. And it's usually going to be your reaction when you see 7th round picks. You're probably not going to know much about the guy or just not know the guy at all. But again, it's a position that they definitely need some depth at, and they got that. And it's going to be interesting to see how he is, you know, how he's going to compete. Again, he's not a lock to make this football team. It's a 7th-round pick at the end of the day. So, you know, you're here to compete. You got a room that definitely could use another body or two of depth. You know, I think they have some locks there, obviously, with St. Brown. And when Jameson Williams comes back, he's going to be here. And then you have Raymond, Marvin Jones, and Josh Reynolds. I think those guys are all locked. I think they could use another guy or two, especially with Jameson Williams' suspension for the first 6 games. So he's going to have an opportunity. And it looks like, you know, they want to secure that opportunity and not even risk it in the undrafted market. And they drafted him in the 7th round. So I'm interested.
Yeah, 100%. I think that the whole Jameson Williams situation is kind of huge for him, because he would have to be really, really, really bad to not make the roster initially because of the whole Jameson Williams situation. So I think that, you know, he does crack in there and I think he should make the roster. And let's see how he could help out with the team for the first 6 weeks. You know, is he going to be a special teamer guy, or is he going to come in and, you know, play offensively and make some plays?
Yeah, I mean, they brought in some other guys, which I want to get into, in the undrafted market. Again, I don't think guys were too familiar with, but I think they're going to have pretty much the same opportunities as Antonio Green is. They brought in wide receiver Keyonte Thompson from Virginia, And they also brought in wide receiver Chase Kota from Oregon. And I saw one highlight of Chase Kota. It was a phenomenal catch versus Oregon State. Again, not the greatest analysis, but I saw one highlight clip from him. And it was sweet.
That was one play.
But like, that's my point. It's like, I think these guys are all going to have an opportunity to kind of compete with that wide receiver depth being a little shaky, especially with Jameson Williams being out. And obviously no Cephas here anymore. And Stanley Berryhill, if you had any stock in him. But you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely room for competition here. They have opportunity to make this 53-man roster.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you did mention briefly the names of the wide receivers, but who are some other guys who we picked up?
Undrafted, yeah. So some interesting ones that kind of stood out to me. I'll mention the whole list, but some guys that really stuck out to me was running back Muhammad Ibrahim from Minnesota. This is a guy I actually liked a lot, and I was kind of shocked that he went undrafted. He got injured last year, but I remember him in 2021. This guy's a very, very fun player. Big power back, a guy that, you know, I could see him really legitimately competing for this football team as that RB3 spot. Obviously, the one and two spots are locked with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but after that, don't really have much running back depth. Justin Jackson right now is a free agent. Craig Reynolds is on your roster. He's going to have an opportunity to compete for that spot, but Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are gone. So there's definitely room for some competition here, and I'm really, really intrigued to see Muhammad Ibrahim. And they gave him a pretty hefty guarantee, $100,000 guaranteed money. So that shows they have some confidence and they liked him, and he's going to have an opportunity to compete for sure.
Is that like normal that they give that much money to the these?
No, he got a bigger bump than all these guys. He got the biggest one.
Okay. So he probably was trying to let him know that, look, they probably wanted him in the draft.
I mean, obviously undrafted, he could go to any team. So they went out and made an emphasis to get him. So ended up landing him. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, man. How would you grade overall this whole draft?
If I had to grade the whole draft as a whole, I think they got guys that are going to help contribute now. I think they got guys that are going to help contribute for the future. I'll go B plus.
You go B plus. I will go the same. I'm going B plus. I'm just pretty much thinking in my head of all the grades I gave and pretty much looking for an average. I'm going B plus. I think what they did is they definitely achieved their goal, and that is making the football team better. And they definitely did that. I think they got a handful of starters from this draft, and that just saying, you know, they're able to upgrade a lot of positions as well. And they were able to bring in a lot of good football players. So, B plus. I wouldn't even hate an A minus. So if that was a grade as well. I mean, outside Lions fan, I'm pretty sure nobody's giving us an A minus. But
no.
I think B plus is really fair. And I love what they did. I think we got better between free agency and the draft. I think the Lions absolutely killed it. And I'm just excited for the season, man.
Me too, man. I think, like you said, they just got guys that are going to help contribute right away. And guys that are here for the long run, too. Now, I just love that they maximize this window right now. Like we talked about, they have this 3 to 5 year window right now. And I think they have the roster right now that you feel confident with. It's just good everywhere. Like, you have good depth everywhere now. There's not really one spot where I'm really concerned about. You know, with Hooker at quarterback, if he works out, I think you have good depth at quarterback. Tight end, now you have Laporta. We saw they were fine without a guy like Laporta last year. So you have depth there. Offensive line, maybe that's the most questionable one right now, I think, depth-wise. But defensively, you look at this defensive line, there's a lot of guys there. Linebacker, now you got Jack Campbell in that room. That defensive back room, they completely cleaned, you know, and they brought a whole new slate of guys. Running back, I think you feel confident. Like, there's just good depth everywhere. Like, the starters are good, but you feel confident about the guys behind them, too, because there's just going to be some injuries throughout the season. And like I said, man, I feel confident to say this team is a top three team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, definitely. And to talk about the offensive line, I think they're perfectly fine depth-wise because they have a lot of guys who's very versatile. You know, there's a lot of guys, like, for example, you know, Holly Puti-Vaitai. Like, if a tackle gets hurt, not necessarily have to put, you know, what's it called, Matt Nelson out there.
Yeah.
You can swing and put Holly Puti out there. Now, I think Holly Puti-Vaitai is a better tackle than Matt Nelson, so he may be able to hold his own for a couple of games if needed. So I think you could move Holly Puti-Vaitai all around the offensive line, maybe except the center position, but anywhere on the offense as a guard tackle. You can move him around. Then you have the same flexibility with Graham Glasgow. Not as far as a tackle, but if your center goes down, you know, now you have Graham Glasgow playing center. And or if a guard goes down, if you know, you can move him to a guard. So I think they're as far as depth wise, I think they're okay. Because just because of the versatility that they have in that room.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I didn't really like even factor Big V playing tackle, and I don't know if that's something that they would do because it's obviously been a couple of years now since he's played the offensive tackle position. But that could be something they do potentially, right?
I think he's way better than Matt Nosen.
Yeah, and we'll see what Colby could do. Colby Sorsto. Yeah. I mean, that's a name. I mean, obviously we're not going to lock him into that swing tackle offensive tackle three right now, but like, if he can impress at camp, maybe I feel a little bit better about that depth than I do right now.
Yeah.
But, like, I just don't know that yet because I haven't seen him yet in the Lions uniform.
We have not. Yeah, that's why I really didn't even factor him in there right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything from him. I mean, we'll see. But yeah. I just like the versatility, man. I think they could, you know, shuffle guys around if needed and make things work.
I feel that confidence right now in the defensive back room right now, just especially getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who obviously could play everywhere, and then now you got Brian Branch, his clone, who could play everywhere as well. I think that's freaking amazing. And then you got two legitimate outside corners, and then you got Jerry Jacobs there as well.
Now, let me ask you a question. Were you a little bit disappointed or shocked that they didn't go cornerback, like an outside corner somewhere in this draft?
No.
Because the whole situation with, you know, we're looking down the road next year, the only guys on the contract is Cam Sutton and
Jacobs.
Is Jacobs, I don't think Jacobs is on the contract next year. I think
he's restricted, but like, you know.
Got you. So
you assume Sutton, he'll be here if he's good.
Cam Sutton, Chase Lucas, and Jacobs. That's what you're looking at, guys who are currently in the contract. So were you a little bit shocked that they didn't go after a guy and maybe lock him in long-term, maybe even Manny Mosley, who has an injury history, you know?
We've seen Brad Holmes who can get corners very easily. It's not just this offseason, free agency, that he can go out and get starting corners day one.
That's true.
So, no, I'm not concerned that they didn't take a corner. Like in this, an outside corner in this whole draft, honestly. Okay. Really not. You know, maybe they could have if there was a guy there. If they liked a guy, I think they would have done it. But I just don't think there was something that fit their board and where they were picking to go get a corner. And like I said, we've seen Brad Holmes being able to go get starting corners. We had nothing last year. Well, all we had was Jerry Jacobs. And right now, he's competing for our cornerback to our second outside cornerback spot with Mosley probably right now.
I respect you for acknowledging last year that we had nothing last year.
We had nothing last year. We had nothing in that cornerback room outside of Jerry Jacobs. They're all gone. Jeff Okuda's gone.
Well, we still have Will Harris.
Will Harris is here, but he's not starting.
Yeah, definitely.
He better not. Bro, with all this depth, he better not be started.
Shoot, I mean, he might not even make the team. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're pretty deep everywhere.
Maybe it takes CJ Moore's spot on special teams potentially.
That could be
a spot for him, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But before we end this episode, let's just read through this undrafted list. Again, there's not going to be much analysis here, but we'll just read some names out and we'll end the show. So starting off with offensive tackle Connor Galvin from Baylor, linebacker Isaac Darkangelo from Illinois, quarterback Adrian Martinez from Kansas State. You guys probably remember him from Nebraska if you guys are Big Ten fans. Mentioned running back Mohamed Ibrahim from Minnesota. Cornerback Starling Thomas from UAB. Offensive lineman Brad Cecil from South Florida. They got another offensive tackle, Ryan Schwitterbata from UCF. Wide receiver Chase Cota from Oregon. You got safety Brandon Joseph from Notre Dame. You got defensive end Zach Morton from Akron. You got wide receiver Keontae Thompson from Virginia. And then you got defensive tackle Chris Smith from Notre Dame. And then you got linebacker Trevor Nowitzki from Saginaw Valley State. So you got a hometown kid here, or at least from played in the hometown of Michigan. So there you go. That's your undrafted list.
There it is.
All right. Well, Malcolm, you got anything else to add on this draft or ready to head out?
Man, I'm ready to head out, man. Let's go Lions, man. Let's go for the smack him for the season, man. Let's go, man.
Let's go, baby. All right, guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. And I want to give a big shout out to my guy, Malcolm, Pierre, if he's listening right now, because draft coverage this year was another success. A lot of fun. And, you know, it's just nothing you could ask for, man. I love doing this with our boys every single year. I believe this is our fifth draft that we've covered since doing this. So it's been a lot of fun. Couldn't ask for a better squad to deal with. So just big shout out to my guys, Malcolm and Pierre.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, man, same here, man. When talking about drafting you guys, man, it's been great. The debate's been amazing. It's been very fun overall, man. So I really enjoy it with you guys, with the whole draft concept and everything.
Yeah, and a big shout out to all the listeners for tuning in every single week, man. You guys are the reason why we keep doing this, and you know why we have the fuel to keep recording and do all this research on these draft guys, and you know make all these mock drafts and have all the interaction on Twitter and Instagram. So just a big shout out to all you guys for tuning in for all the draft coverage. Couldn't ask for a better audience. So hope you guys all enjoyed it throughout the whole draft process, and we'll obviously have some new content as we'll transition now to the 2023 regular season schedule dropping out very soon. We'll have that stuff coming out. So it's gonna be a fun year, and I can't wait for training camp.
All right, y'all. Well, it's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.